Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining us tonight. I tell you, I don't take it lightly, and I truly, truly appreciate you. I tell you, tonight we're going to have a great, great time. But before we get into the show, I want to thank our sponsors who are sowing into this fertile ground. We have evangelist Alexandra Townsend, who is the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm. This is a real-life account of how God delivered her son from over a decade of a 15-year alcohol addiction. Books are available on all of your online book outlets. Again, the title of that book is Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm, and the author is Alexandra Townsend. Then we have Lee and Lee Productions. They present Solid as One. It's a stage play happening Sunday, April 30th. Two shows, 4:30 and 7:30 p.m. The location is Synchronicity Theater at 1545 Peachtree Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30309. Again, go ahead and mark your calendar. That is April 30th. They have two shows, 4:30 and 7:30. Lee and Lee Productions is a husband and wife team. I'm telling you, they put on great, great shows. They are authors. They are playwrights, and they're doing a phenomenal job for the kingdom of God, as well as unions and marriage. I'm telling you, they're powerful to couples, so you definitely want to go out and support. Horizon Unlimited LLC is a coaching that brings your dreams into reality. Go visit Dawn Baldwin Gibson to get your destiny journey started today. We heard Dawn on last week as our guest, and I'm telling you, she blessed us thoroughly. Again, the name of her coaching agency is Horizon Unlimited LLC, and you'll visit her at www.baldwingibson.com. Roz Hair and Beauty Bar, located at 1501 Highway 138, beside Golden Crescent in Conyers, Georgia, located inside F&D Beauty. Roz specializes in all of your hair care and beauty needs, from relaxers to twists, lock maintenance, natural hair, sew-ins, quick weaves, lashes, makeup, and much, much more. Give Roz a call and schedule your appointment today at 404-599-3712. We have Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. CDs are available on Reverb Nation and CD Baby. That is Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. And the owner and founder is Vincent Lynch. And finally, we have Unique Expression by Design with Angelise Washington. Angelise is there to take care of all of your personal and business needs. If you want it custom made, she's there to take care of you. And that's from anything from t-shirts to cups, pens, mugs, journals, whatever it is that you need, she will take care of you. And for the month of April, if you mentioned that you heard it here on Fire to Inspire, she's doing a pen promotion, and she'll take care of you with that special that she's doing for the month of March, if you mention On Fire to Inspire. Thank you to each and every person that's sowing into this fruitful ground. If you want to be a sponsor, we are continuing our $25 special. We mention you on the show each and every week, as well as post you online. So I tell you, they've been such a blessing. They've been blessed, and may God continue to sow and pour into your business. So guys, tonight's show is entitled Upward and Onward, and I'm so excited about having our guest tonight. We have Mr. Eric Elliott. He is going to introduce himself to you guys shortly. So welcome, 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 Eric, to the On Fire to Inspire family. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Aaliyah. I am better than I deserve. I am thrilled to be sharing with the On Fire to Inspire network this evening. And I'm telling you, just a quick reflection here. I'm listening to all the things you have going as far as ministries and partnerships and outreach goes, and this is tremendous. And you know, I'm thinking about another Alicia. I'm thinking about actually an Alicia Keys, And the song she wrote is called This Girl Is On Fire. And I'm thinking, maybe she sang Alicia Keys was singing to Aaliyah Butler when she wrote this song, and you came up with this organization, On Fire to Inspire. This is tremendous. So I am definitely thrilled to be part of what's going on this evening today.
Amen, amen. Well, we're so, so excited about having you on and you being able to share in your gifts, talents, and abilities with us. I'm telling you, we don't take it lightly because people don't have to take time out of their schedule to, you know, come and share with us. And then our listeners don't have to take time out of their schedule to listen. So I appreciate everybody, the ones listening as well as you sharing your wisdom with us.
And likewise, likewise. Well, you asked a little bit about my background. I am a native of Richmond, Virginia. I was born into the Elliott family, privileged to be a member of the Elliott family. And I spent probably 22 years there in the Richmond area, did all my undergrad, not my undergrad, my grade schooling there, high school, that kind of thing as well. You know, I even left high school as an AP, advanced placement student. And so I felt like I was on my way to things, to do some great things. And after I, you know, garnered a few of those little accolades on the high school side, I ended up going to college over at Old Dominion University. And I'll tell you this, Aaliyah, it took about 1.5, maybe 2 semesters before I had a repeat performance. Once again, I was an AP student, but this time in college, that AP meant academic probation. So I tell you, it took a while, and this wasn't because I was just kind of hanging out and lounging around, that kind of thing. I was struggling, sweating, and grunting trying to learn about the engineering curriculum. But after a couple of years, I kind of got things together and found my niche and started to find my flow and moved on to graduate from Old Dominion University with a degree in electrical engineering and ended up in the Northern Virginia area using some of those some of that learning, some of that education in the field of cyber test engineering, which is primarily what I do now. So that background is pretty technical, but all along the way I was gaining all different types of experiences and interaction with people, learning things, teaching things, and I tell you what, all of that just kind of swirled together and bubbled up in the form of the book Onward to Manhood, which we'll talk a little bit about tonight. But all of that, again, it came together because I had experiences as a husband, a father, a son, brother, teacher, friend, impact speaker, author, cyber test engineer. All these things just kind of work together like a puzzle piece to help form the experience that I expressed as Onward to Manhood, Establishing Godly Masculinity.
Amen, amen. I tell you, you're talking about me being on fire. I think you are my first cousin in that one. So I tell you, you've been on fire and getting some things done. And you've been in the schools, you've been in the colleges and speaking and empowering. And isn't it just beautiful to be able to do what you do and enjoy what you do?
Oh, indeed it is. And in fact, you know, we're all runners in a great race. And as somebody has handed a baton to us, whether it be mother, father, grandmother, aunt, uncle, somebody has handed some kind of baton to us, whether it's an educational baton, whether it's a baton of morality, whether it's a professional baton, whether it's a family raising baton. We all have some kind of baton in our hand. And our goal, our objective, our obligation as runners in a great race is to carry that baton well and then just pass it on to the next person and the next generation. So I'm thrilled about, you know, being able to share with you guys at On Fire to Inspire this evening, Aaliyah.
Amen, amen. Now, you talked about being an AP student, and you said it went from AP, which is advanced placement in high school, but it went to, it changed in college to academic probation. You know, many times people are too embarrassed to share their story, but God's going to get the glory out of it if you allow him to, you know?
Oh, no doubt about it. When I got that letter in the mail letting me know that I was on academic probation, you know, my self-image was basically in the commode, and I felt like somebody had their hand on the handle and was flushing, and I was just going down, down, down. I was scared, and so this was a point. This was one of these turning points in my life where I called on God. I said, "Okay, Lord, help me out through this. Help me through this, because I know I've done some things not to achieve the way I could in the academic environment. So, you know, Lord, help me to get this together, because My father was not the type of guy who was going to spend money, you know, help pay for college, and then I turn around and tell him that I wasted the money because I didn't finish the job. So I was under the gun. I was under the gun in more ways than one to step in there and do a great job and help turn that academic probation back around into something productive. And it's kind of like I shared in the book that no matter what the situation you're in, there's something great you can take from it, something great you can learn from it, and turn it around for God's good and put it in the right direction, if in fact it's in the wrong direction right now.
Amen. You know, I was a guest on someone's show, and they asked something about dealing with failures or something, failures from the past, or how do you deal with failures? And I said, well, I don't look at things as, I said, it's all in how you look at it. I said, and I don't look at things as failures. I look at them as learning opportunities. So when you change your perspective, you change the way that you see and accept things. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, because we live in life, we're going to experience ups and downs, and we're going to have problems and issues and joys and victories. And anytime I encounter a problem, I do have to speak to the problem, because I've learned that over time, that you speak to the problem, not talking about the problem, but speak directly to the problem. And one of my favorite things to say is, and we'll use a little bit of church terminology here, I'll say, problem, usher me to the front row. So whatever this problem is, it's going to be used to usher me to the front row, which is where I can get a better glimpse of how God wants to use this problem I'm experiencing for His glory. And so a problem is a situation where it's very unfavorable, but at the same time it's very leverageable, if you will.
Amen. You know, one of the things that I also like to say, is I look at that thing and I tell it, you know, let me tell you who my father is, and now let me speak to you and tell you what you're going to do, because the power and authority is in our mouth. And so, you know, it's all in us, and we just got to understand what kind of power and authority is on the inside of us, because I learned from my pastor. I love my pastor, Apostle. She told us one time, she said, if you keep speaking what you currently see, you're going to keep getting what you currently see. But I dare you to trust God and start speaking what you want to see versus what you currently see. I said, woo, you said a mouthful. And from that point forward, I looked at things differently, and I spoke differently. It was intentional speaking at that time. Amen.
Absolutely. And in fact, the reason that happens that way is speaking at a problem is because out of all the issues of everything going on in your heart, your mouth is going to articulate. And so the thing we have to realize is that from birth, from early in life, God has placed within us all types of solutions. And so we ought to be solution-oriented. When things come our way, our duty, our response to them should be to conquer them, not to be conquered by them. And because we are, you know, by His design, a solution-oriented people, we have victory. And so our goal is to, you know, not just speak victory, but also take those steps that lead us to conquer whatever situation or challenge that we're facing.
Amen. Eric, the topic itself, upward and onward, what does that mean to you, upward and onward?
The whole idea of being upward and onward, specifically, we ask God and we get from God a glimpse of where He wants us to be. You know, we're in one place right now, but the whole idea of being upward and onward is based on vision. And so if all we can handle right now is a glimpse of where He wants us to be, it's basically a preview. And as he sees that we can handle this one snapshot, this one preview, and begin to move toward us, then he can unfold or unspool an entire vision for us for where we ought to be. And not only where we ought to be, but, you know, where we ought to be leading our families, where we ought to be leading our coworkers, where we ought to be leading our neighbors and our community and that kind of thing as well. I'll tell you this, and this is just an example from earlier today. We had a little bit of snow right here in the Northern Virginia area, and my son and I got out there, I guess it was about 11 o'clock, maybe closer to 12 o'clock today. I like to get out after the sun gets under that snow just a little bit to make it a little bit easier to shove off the sidewalk. And before I could get out there, one of my neighbors was coming up my sidewalk. One of my neighbor's sons was coming up my sidewalk, and he was just kind of shoveling for me. And this is about 30 seconds before I could get out the door. So we greeted him, and the three of us were out there shoveling and moving, and got the job done in pretty quick order. And, you know, by the time I was tired and ready to go in and ready to move on, my neighbor across the street came out of his house and started shoveling his walk, his steps and his walk. And so my son and I said, come on, let's go. We went across and helped him shovel. And I bring up that whole scenario that happened, 12 hours ago or less. I bring up that whole scenario because, you know, what we do, God gives us a glimpse of what he wants us to do or what he wants us to be or what he wants us to become. And so because my neighbor who was just a couple doors down had a glimpse, had a notion, had an idea. He had a glimpse of me having a clean walkway. And so he set his shoulders and his shovel in motion to make that thing happen. And along comes myself and my son, and we joined him in his vision, in his glimpse of a clean walkway, because we had that exact same glimpse, but we weren't quite outside the second that our neighbor was out there. And after we saw that our glimpse had become reality right there in our clean walkway and our driveway, we had a glimpse of my neighbor having a clean walkway and a clean driveway, so we went and joined him. And, you know, that one little analogy is kind of a microcosm of an extended life of some of the more significant things he wants us to do. Yeah, clean driveway when the snow comes, but, yeah, we're also talking about, you know, raising some incredible, some powerful kids. We're talking about, kids moving on in the world of education. We're talking about some marriages being bold and being strong. We're talking about, people writing books and people putting together an On Fire to Inspire radio station. We're talking about whatever glimpse it is that God has given you to get your shoulders and get your shovel in motion so you can clear the pathway and make that thing happen.
Amen, amen. No stagnation, moving forward. Love it, love it, love it. Absolutely love it. So our next question is, so you are an author. You mentioned that you are an author. Tell us the title of your book again.
The name of the book is Onward to Manhood, Establishing Godly Masculinity. And the book itself is available on Amazon, but if you want to find out more about myself as a speaker, a workshop facilitator, impact speaker, you can find the book at www.ericjelliott.com. That's ericjelliott.com. ericjelliott.com. And if you want to find out about blurbs and upcoming podcasts and events and book signings, if you go to the Facebook page, Onward to Manhood, and like that page and look at that page, then you can see some of the upcoming events as well. But, you know, Aaliyah, I'm reflecting on the fact that you called me an author, and, you know, quite frankly, I can't say that I've fully come to grips with that title, because I was the kid, you know, you've heard of high school dropouts. Mm-hmm. Well, I was a high school lookout. I was a guy who would sit in the English class, and while class was going on, I'm hearing my teacher speak, and it kind of sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher talking, wah, 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 wah. And I'm just sitting there, as she's talking or he's talking, I'm looking out the window. I'm a high school lookout, look out the window. And I don't know how I ended up in some of these English AP and English advanced honors classes, but the last thing in the world I wanted to do was to sit down and write some papers and turn the papers into a book and turn a book into a publication. But, you know, again, God gave me a glimpse, because at that stage in my life, at that high school stage, I was the kind of guy, I would always write down a little motivational quote for myself. You know, I had motivational quotes at my desk. I had them on my book cover. I could quote them. I knew them right off the top of my head. So I knew quotes. But again, like going back to that last analogy, that was just kind of a glimpse of what was going on. So when you bring together the quotes and the experiences and the stories, all that comes together in the form of a book, and the book, you know, makes you an author. And, you know, like I said, I'm still coming to grips with that whole author thing, but God can start with something. He can start with a seed, just like a quote, and turn that seed/quote into a tree/book.
This is true. That's how On Fire to Inspire. And my quotes and my seeds were actually, he was waking me up in the midnight hour. So I can definitely attest to that. Definitely attest to it. Now, so what was the inspiration and the motivation actually came from different pieces that you had, and they kind of grew, or what kind of created this burning desire to say, you know what, this is going to be a book. What created that?
Well, the genesis was, again, I go back to the English class that I hated. I remember that there was specifically, this was right about 1985, growing up in Richmond, Virginia, and you can probably relate to some of this because you're there in the Atlanta area, but back around 1983, 84, 85, somewhere around there, Richmond, Virginia was called the Myrtle Capital of the United States of America. And that was the kind of thing that that just kind of gripped me, because when they would say in the Myrtle Capital, they were basically talking about young black males, of which I was and I am one. Myrtle Capital of the United States. And the statistic I remember reading, it's so vivid in my mind, I can see it again today, was that a young black male growing up in Richmond, Virginia, has a 1 in 21 chance of being murdered before he reaches his 18th birthday. Mm-hmm. Now, it's gotten somewhat better since then. It's certainly not totally cleared up or corrected, but that statistic just kind of stuck in my soul. And I knew that I wasn't going to be – in my mind, in my own kind of naive way, I said to myself – you know, I'd like to grow up. I like to have a family. I like to have a couple sons, and be one of the solutions. And getting back to solutions, be one of the solutions to this whole murder rate thing, and just totally prove it wrong, and mm-hmm. be a catalyst for change, whether it be in Richmond or D.C. or Norfolk, where I went to school, or any other location. Be a catalyst for change, and not be one to just resign to the statistics. And so that was one of the key moments in terms of helping me, point me in the right direction to let me know I was going to eventually go on and write a book, go ahead and speak out to people, go ahead and share with people in detention centers and churches and schools and corporate settings and various other scenarios as well. So that was one of the key moments. That's one of the key moments of inspiration, was that little statistic that said, you're a black male. You have a 1 in 21 chance of dying before you turn 8, or being murdered before you turn 18. And then there have been other little inspirations all along the way. It wasn't just that one. There were several of them. You know, having a daughter. I wanted to produce a book that a prospective suitor for her could read, and she could kind of measure him up against the principles and points in the book, and he could read the book, measure himself up against the points and principles, and he would know whether he would need to come back and pay her a second visit. Okay. That was my inspiration to have, you know, not just for my daughter, but over time mm-hmm. I've been in positions to serve in youth ministry, to work with a group known as Upward Bound, to serve with all different types of youth groups as well. I want to put young men, young guys in a position where, you know, when they step to the door or when they pick up the phone, they've already got their principles lined up, and they're worth, they're worth the title, these young women, because I see a lot of guys who ain't anywhere near being worth the time for these young women. Mm-hmm. So what my idea was, I read a quote from Eddie Robinson, the guy who used to coach Grambling football for so many years and racked up so many records just in terms of wins and victories. The quote from Eddie Robinson said, you want to train them as though they were going to marry your daughter. And he was talking to his assistant coaches about how you train these young men on the football team. And that's just kind of part of my mantra. I want to train them as though they were going to marry my daughter. And that's what this whole offering from Onward to Manhood makes available in the chapters therein.
Gotcha. I tell you, that's good. That's really good, because when you set the bar high, she's not going to go and just, you know, date somebody that don't even have teeth in his mouth. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just, when you set that bar high, they're going to say, you know what, my dad set the standard, and this standard has to be here or higher, you know? So mm-hmm. I tell you, I love it. Now, what was your defining moment to actually want to go into shifting into helping the youth and going to youth ministry and things of that nature? Because I was a product of you Upward Bound myself. What made you want to go and help out with the kids?
Well, you know, it was something that I had been doing ever since I was a kid. I had junior camp counselor experience at the North Richmond YMCA. And then I had camp counselor experiences at the University of Virginia. So I was kind of working with kids as I was a kid. And I know some people use the term, I've heard my wife use the term, old soul, you know, a young person who just kind of, you know, been beyond their years type of thing. And so I've done it with the YMCA, with the summer camps, with the Upward Bound, and with the churches, and with the local schools as a substitute teacher. So there was always this affinity I had for young people, because I guess there's in my mind, I'm still young. You know, I was born in the 70s, but in my mind, I'm still young. Still like to get out there and play ball with the kids, and you know, talk about a lot of stuff that they talk about, and find out what's going on in their life as well. So I guess it's all part of that youthful young spirit, wanting to play, wanting to interact, wanting to laugh, and wanting to you know, just wanting to be a part of what's going on, or at least be a guideline, a spotlight in terms of what's going on in their lives as well.
Amen. Have you served as a mentor for any of the young men?
Yeah, definitely. Currently through my church, we do a little bit of mentoring on Wednesday nights. Just talk about some of the things that's important to them. You know, we've had young men who've come in with you know, emotional issues or broken backgrounds. You know, a whole list or a whole set of issues that they're dealing with as well. And you know, when we, as they come in and as we begin to build rapport and begin to trust each other, then you know, sometimes they share with me some of these things that they're going through and some of the things that are going on, and I've been able to share some insight, and definitely I've been able to learn a lot from them. It's not just a one-way street where I'm teaching you and you shall learn from me, but I've learned a whole lot from them. You know, had time to pray with them, pray over them, and you know, just kind of walk with them side by side through some of the things that they're going through.
Yes, exactly. You know, one thing I can definitely say is the youth of today have so many other things that we didn't have to deal with. You know, bullying. We were nice to each other. Kids are so mean to each other now. You know, it's like, really. Bullying is on the rise. I actually happened to be a part of this skit, this anti-bullying skit called Beautiful, a couple of weeks ago at one of the theme schools in one of our counties here in Atlanta, in the suburbs. And I tell you, I mean, I was familiar with some of the things that they deal with because I'm in the schools all the time. But to know the numbers, you know, of dropouts and suicides because of bullying, it's like, wow. Have you had any, you know, tell you that they're being bullied or anything like that when they were, you know, kind of breaking down and telling you some things? Have you had any share stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had them share on a confidential level, and some of the things that accompanied the bully would simply blow your mind. And because they shared in confidence, it's not something I would repeat here. But suffice it to say that some of the things that you hear about or you've seen go on in the jails is going on in some of the schools right now. And, definitely this was kind of an impetus. It was kind of a motivating moment for me to be able to write this book, and I'm continuing to be motivated to help reverse the trend of insignificant men, because a lot of the things that are going on, you know, in the schools, in the communities, even in the neighborhoods would take you to a place where you say, oh, man, we're doomed. There's nothing we can do. This is happening, and that is happening, and that's happening to our youth. Well, guess what? Guess who God gave the conquering power to? He wouldn't allow us to be overcomers if we didn't have things to overcome. And we certainly have a lot of stuff lined up for us to overcome. And, you know, just talk to some of your youth, and you'll quickly find out what it is.
That is so true. So, so very true. So I think we're going to open the lines up for some questions and comments. You open to that?
Oh, let's go for it. Yeah, that's why we're here.
All right. So, guys, if you're dialed in at 929-477-2178, press 1 if you have a question or comment about anything we've covered up to this point. If you're listening online, you won't be able to press 1 because we won't be able to hear you. So you have to dial in at 929-477-2178, press option 1, and you can make a comment or ask a question. I'm telling you some good, great information. And like I said, you know, our youth are just, you know, we just really have to keep them built up and lifted up. Because what I'm learning also and seeing is a lot of them don't have a positive outlook on themselves either.
And yeah, a lot of that goes on. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I've shared with my kids on our little Wednesday night session is that, hey, look, you know, there's about 168 hours in a week, and I have you for about an hour. And so with that 1 hour, when you compare 1 hour versus 168 hours of whatever you're getting out there in the world, out there in school, out there playing your Grand Theft Auto, out there on top of your, you know, playing on your device, my 1 hour versus the 168, you know, quite frankly, the 168 wins from the perspective of time. And so with that time I have with you, I've got to pour into you what, you know, some of the incredible things that God has poured into me. Because quite frankly, I refuse you to allow to go down to discouragement and disappointment without pouring into your soul the life-giving words and the vibrant words and the vibrant experiences that God has poured into mine.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, we will speak life. We will speak life. We will speak life. I tell you, they're being a little shy tonight. Every now and then, they'll just light up the lines, and every now and then they're like, well, but your most recent speaking engagement, was it to youth? Was it to adults?
This was more so to adults in a conference setting, and so I had a chance to share a little bit about my background and some of the interactive times my son and I have had together, because this was a set of men, and there were a few younger guys there as well, but I got a chance to share about you know, some of the things I do with my son to help. You know, just to help build our relationship. He's now hit the age of 13, and I'm telling you, man, when they get into the teens, there's some different dynamics going on, and it's not always as easy to relate to the teens as it is to a 8, 9, or 10 year old. But you know, that's just fine, because it's an opportunity for us to grow together, to walk together, to talk together even more. And I'm looking forward to it, because we just started the teens and got a couple more months before we'll be 14. So we're headed for the long haul, and we'll get a chance to apply this whole Onward to Manhood right here in the Lab of Life, right here at our address.
Amen. On the job training, right?
Indeed, it is.
On the job training. Yes, I can definitely relate to the teen thing. I have one soon to be 15 myself. So, and it's funny, as you speak to parents that have teenagers, whether they're in middle school or high school, they're like, especially middle school, they're like, I don't know who this child is, you know, because their personalities change. They're not that sweet little, you know, mommy person. They're like, look, just give me my space. You're like, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, they have a lot of their own thoughts, a lot of their own notions, and sometimes you sit down and talk with them, and you wonder, where in the world did this come from? What in the world are you talking about? But you know, you have to sit down and be patient, and also, you know, flash back about 30 years or so, or 20, 30 years, whatever your age range is, to the time when we were teens, and you know, we were up against all these different ideas and notions. And I don't know about you, Aaliyah. You were probably a good teen, but for myself, when I was 13, I pretty much knew it all. And then when I turned 14, I knew a little bit more than all. And I let my parents know that I knew it all. And quite frankly, there was some friction there. There was some friction there. So, you know, all that just kind of circles back around, and you get to experience that afresh, but on the other side of the fence as a parent versus being the teen.
That's true. That's true. So if we have an adult that's listening and they're ready to move upward and onward and they've been in this place of stagnation, what would you say to that person?
Well, one of the things I often, you know, now that I have teenagers, one of the things that I often have to remind my teenagers is who's the parent and who's the child? Because sometimes they get that twisted. Sometimes they think, well, hey, look, I got this thing locked. I know some stuff. I know what I want to do next. I know where I want to go next. I want to get my license. I want to do this. I want to do that. They get that whole parent-child thing twisted. And I have to give them a refresher course from time to time, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
so
I definitely
one of the And so one of the things I would say to moms and dads, especially when you're raising your sons, I'll kind of channel this to the dads, is as you're raising your son, inside of every boy, there is a man, but that man has to be called out. And on the flip side, inside of every man is a boy, but that boy has to be quieted, because that boy will do the immature thing, do the irresponsible thing, and he'll do it over and over and over again until the man steps up. And so that's what you're seeing in your son. That son has a man inside of him, but the boy is always going to do the easy thing, the irresponsible thing, the immature thing, until you look him in the eye day after day, week after week, and call out the man in him. That's the responsibility of a father. A father has to call out the man in his son. And I have a daughter as well. I can't look my daughter in the eye and call out the woman in her, because I ain't a woman. I can call out the adult in her, and that's what my wife and I are dedicated to doing. We're raising adults. We're not raising children. We're raising adults. It's all a matter of, to use your word from earlier, it's all a matter of perspective. And so the calling out of the man in your son is a continuous call. It's an ongoing call. You have to do it daily. You have to do it in different scenarios, and you have to do it in different ways. And a critical thing that a mom can do, especially if it's a mom, a single mom or a grandmother or aunt who's raising a boy, is to affirm him. In fact, there's one thing that every boy needs to know, whether that boy is 4 years old or 14 years old, or even a boy who's 40 years old, 40-year-old man acting like a boy. They need to know just a simple five-word phrase. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. And so if you can affirm in that son of yours that you have what it takes, that's going to go a long ways in helping him to mature. Now, side by side, along with the you have what it takes, help him to build up some muscles, the muscle of responsibility. If that kid is 4 years old, you know, let him drag them toys into that toy chest and clean up. If that kid of yours is, that son of yours is about 9 years old, you pull up to a gas pump, unlock the door, tell him to get out, teach him how to pump the gas first, and then whenever you pull up to a gas station, let him know, unlock the door, and he's the one pumping the gas. You need to know how to pump gas. If that child of yours is 16 years old, sit down with him. And if you don't want to expose your particular finances, then let him have some kind of idea how a checkbook works, how financial responsibility unfolds in your household. So that these are all things that we can do to help that child build up some muscles of responsibility. So if we're teaching our child, or if we're affirming our child with you have what it takes, and at the same time helping them to build up muscles of responsibility, this will go a long ways into the proverb that says, train up your child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it.
Amen, amen. Well, we have two callers that stepped up for questions or comments. You ready for them?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
All right. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire with Aaliyah and Elliot. Who do we have online with us?
Hello, this is Elmon Watt.
Hi, Elmon. How are you?
I'm doing good. I think he answered my question. Eric is a good friend of mine. I think he answered my question before I asked it. You know, his book, and when he speaks, talks about growing these young men into godly manhood. And I was going to ask about how you do that and how you make it relevant to them on a day-to-day. And everything that he just talked about, I think, just kind of answered my question before I ask it. But I just want to applaud him for all his book and all he's done. But I let him take a change at that. How do we continue to make it relevant with all that they're going through today?
First of all, Elmon, man, I'm thrilled and I'm surprised to hear your voice. God bless you, my brother, a good friend. And I tell you what, I learned quite a bit from Elmon, so I'm just kind of humbled that he called me and tossed out the question here. But when you talk about raising godly young men, there's a chapter in the book that's called Growth Management. And that chapter is based on the verse Luke 2:52, where it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and favor with God, and favor with men." So basically what that is saying is that Jesus had a four-dimensional growth. He grew mentally, spiritually, physically, and socially. And so those are four areas we have to be intentional about pouring into our kids, whether they're children that live in our own home, or whether they're grandchildren, or nieces and nephews, or whether it's somebody from a church group. So be intentional about pouring into experiences, social experience, where they interact with one another and they learn from adults how to be adults. If it's a physical activity, get out there and run with them and play ball with them and step into their world. You know, my son is a kid who loves Taekwondo, is a second-degree black belt. And so from time to time, I step into his world and get him out there in the backyard carrying around some tires to help develop him physically. Spiritually, you know, we've got a book that we looked at together talks about some of the responsibilities of men, some of the pitfalls that you will face in manhood. So, you know, spiritual, physical, social, and all different types of growth, we have to be intentional about setting specific activities and designating specific times that we want to pour into our youth in each of those four different areas, whether it's the mental growth, the spiritual growth, the social growth, or the physical growth, because that's what Jesus did. He's our model. He's an incredible model of manhood. And so I want to pour into my children the way that Jesus was poured into.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. Did you have another comment or question for
him? Nope. That was good. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening and dialing in. All right. You ready?
Indeed.
Okay. Here's the next one. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire with Ms. On Fire to Inspire. Eric, who do we have on the line?
Yes, Mr. Osborne Dennis.
Good evening, Mr. Osborne Dennis. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. I am sitting back here just enjoying the show. I mean, you guys are dropping some real wisdom, and I'm just sitting back taking notes, and I just want to commend you for your great work. I really like the part about letting the boys partake in the responsibility in all the aspects of the growth for them to develop the man. So I'm truly enjoying it, and I'm going to implement some of your programs in my kids' life. So I'm really truly enjoying it.
So yeah, I tell you what, Mr. Dennis, first of all, thanks for calling in. And it's not just, you know, a neat thing to do, a neat idea kind of thing that, hey, I'm going to get my child involved in some of the stuff around the house. It actually is helping them to become the child or the adult that they need to become. And I'm,
exactly.
You know, just in your comments, I reflect on a moment I had with my son where we were in the process of paying off a credit card bill. And one of the things that we would do with my son and my daughter is I would let them, I would write the check and I would give them the check and I would let them go get in line, stand in line at the bank. And they were barely tall enough to see over the counter and reach out to the teller. And they would take these checks for several months now, take these checks in the process of paying off the credit card. And, you know, the tellers in the bank, they thought that was the cutest thing. You got this little 7-year-old boy, this little 9-year-old girl coming up to the teller, you know, bobbing in her ponytails and paying off a credit card. Because I said, look, when you go to the teller, you say, I want to pay off my credit card. And they would just laugh and get a kick out of it. Oh, how cute. Well, yeah, in a sense it was cute, but again, it's helping them to develop a muscle of financial responsibility. And that's the kind of thing that We're intentional about doing with our children, and I would love to. I'd love to walk into a bank and see more kids walking in and paying off their child's, their parents' credit cards, or you know, paying a bill and learning that level of responsibility even at a young age. Not just because it's a cute thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do.
It's needed. It's needed. And like you said, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way it should go. So it's a beautiful thing. So I'm truly enjoying the show, and I thank you for sharing some wisdom.
Hey, Mr. Dennis, thank you for calling in. I'm sure there's a lot you could have shared with us as well, but, yeah, thank you for calling in and sharing a little bit of a moment with us there.
No problem, no problem. Thank you.
I tell you, Eric, he's humble. He's such an humble man. He's also an author, and I call him a bully specialist because he goes to different schools. And being a part of that skit I was telling you that I was a part of, he's the one I learned all these statistics and numbers from. I was like, really? Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm like, where has my head been in the clouds? But I mean, when you really know the staggering numbers, you're like, okay, like you said earlier, how can I be a solution to a growing problem? You know, so, you know, and I really like what you're saying, you know, being active, you know, being active on raising adults and not raising children. I like that. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also giving them, because see, what you're doing, what you all did at an early age, you were intentional about it, but you gave them something that it taught them not to fear money, not to fear their financials, because many times we're not taught that as a child. You know, you learn about your checking account and things of that nature either in high school or some people even in college. You know, that's not something that you tend to be intentional about, but I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh, definitely. And you know, one of the things we have to help our children realize, you know, early in the game, and if we don't do it early, we got to let them know later, is that they, too, have all kinds of solutions inside of them. In fact, every person who's on this broadcast, who's listening right now, I'll share something with you. You are the answer to someone else's prayer. Because quite frankly, you've already been through or conquered or faced something that somebody is totally scared to death about facing. You know, whether it has been domestic abuse, or whether it's been some kind of academic torture, or whether it's been a car repossessed or laid off from a job. So somebody is facing that, right? Somebody you know is facing that right now, but you've already been through it. And so if you identify that person and get a chance to sit down with them kneecap to kneecap, eyeball to eyeball, and share your story with them, quite frankly, you would be their answer to prayer, because, you know, right now they're thinking, ain't no way in the world I'm going to get through this. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to get out of this. You know, I have a felony on my record. Ain't no way in the world I can start my life anew. But when you sit down and talk to them and share out of your heart, out of your experience, the way God has kind of helped you navigate whatever that is, then you give that person hope.
Amen, amen. That is so, so very true. And, you know, the enemy wants you to think that you're the only one with the issue, or, you know, you're going through it alone. But like you said, there's someone that's been there that can help you navigate it. And so that's why it's so key to knowing it's time to share, you know, share your testimony, because you're you know, being a blessing to someone else. So,
absolutely.
So Eric, I have another question for you. So when you have people that are just stagnant and they just don't understand why, what are some of the things that you've seen that has kept them in that place?
In terms of keeping people stagnant?
Yeah, keeping them stagnant, keeping them kind of like feeling like they're just going in a vicious cycle, vicious circle, and they're not being productive and moving forward and toward goals or anything. What do you see? What have you seen that's caused that?
Well, one of the things that I realize is that sometimes we don't have a correct understanding of what God's given us and what God's placed in us. And so we will sometimes stay stuck or stagnant where we are, or not necessarily walk in the direction that he's given us, the strength or the power that he's given us. And, you know, you said it a minute ago that the enemy wants us to think, okay, we're isolated. I'm the only one who's experienced this or felt this before. And because I'm isolated, because I'm insulated, then I'm going to be there's not any hope for me. There's not any pull for me to move forward to the better place in life. And, you know, one of the things I realized is that I've heard people use the term motivational speaker. Well, quite frankly, I don't consider myself a motivational speaker because I don't motivate a soul. People find motivation within themselves to do whatever it is that they need to do or they really, really want to do. You know, sometimes I think about how, you know, over the course of a day, sometimes a whole day can pass and you haven't completed what you want to do. But when you look at the majority of your days, you do those things that you really want to do, whether it's a TV show you want to watch or whether it's a certain experience you want to have or it's a certain place you want to go. We tend to do those things that we really want to do, and that is our motivation. And so when we find that we're stuck or we're stagnant, a lot of times either it's a scenario where we're scared or we're procrastinating so that we don't move from that stuck and stagnant place to a place where we know we ought to be, or we just don't realize that we can actually get there. We don't realize that the motivation lies within us. It's the same motivation that we have, and I'll use myself as an example for this time of year, the same motivation that I have to watch my favorite team right here, March Madness, to win the whole thing, is the same motivation I can use just if I channel it differently to learn a new skill at work or to take time and sit down and try to understand these range of emotions that my daughter's having. Or it's the exact same skill and motivation I can use, you know, in different areas where things need to be accomplished and things need to be done.
Yes, I agree. And to sum up what you just said is, number one, they don't know their true identity, and number two is fear. And so I just tell you, that is so true. And when they understand their true identity, the purpose for their life, man, they'll be like, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I do this earlier?
Absolutely.
You know? Yes.
Ali, I can't tell you how many times I've had that exact same moment, that exact same thought. Why didn't I do this earlier? What, you know, what was I hesitating and procrastinating for? You know, because quite frankly, and this is another thing we have to realize, that anytime we're hesitating and procrastinating, we are, in fact, preventing and blocking other people from receiving their blessing. So if I'm hesitating from, you know, something as simple as smiling, you know, I'm thinking right now about a guy I work with who doesn't necessarily smile. And I don't know what the reason is. I can't prejudge him for whatever that reason is. But I can do my part and extend a smile or extend a greeting to him. I don't necessarily have to reflect to him what he reflects to me, because, you know, one of the things I teach my children, and I love everybody to learn this lesson, is that you are a thermostat and not a thermometer. So what does that mean?
I like that.
A thermostat controls the environment, whereas a thermometer just reflects the temperature of the environment. A thermometer has no power to heat or cool a room, but the thermostat's got the power to change that entire environment. And so when we realize that because of what God has done in us and for us and through us, that we are thermometers instead of thermostats, then that will change a whole lot of things that's going on, you know, in our life as it currently stands.
Amen. I tell you, I hope you guys are taking down some good notes, because he's making some good, giving us some great notes out there. And Eric, if there's anything that you want to add out that I'm not capturing, some of the things that you're saying, I'm putting it in our event out on Facebook, because a lot of times people go back and read them, or they may even post questions. They may even share some things that bless them later on this evening, because you'll have people listening from the recordings as well. So if you feel led to, you know, post anything, feel free to do so. So, Eric, what would you like to leave the listeners with as far as final things, words of power that you would like to leave, and then also how they can contact you?
Fantastic. Yeah, I'll just share something from chapter in one of my books, and this is something that seems like people just kind of catch on to. It's kind of a catchy little thing, but you know, for men, Aaliyah, the number one topic, the hottest topic of our lives is women. And mm-hmm. you mentioned to me that you have children, and do you have teenage sons?
No, I have one daughter. She's about to be 15.
She's about to be 15. Okay, so you're mm-hmm. the parent of a teenager. So you
yes.
probably heard of a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and probably most of the listeners know what a PS or a PlayStation is. Well,
mm-hmm.
Sony's PlayStation has been one of the hottest selling items of this century. And it's a dynamic entertainment system that allows users to simulate reality in an electronic gaming environment.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation itself is a compound word. It's made up of two words, play and station. These two words are made up or can be broken down into three word sounds, play, stay, and shun. Now, Aaliyah, interestingly enough, these three word sounds are also the three options that we as men have when it comes to the women in our life. We can either play with them, we can stay with them, or we can just shun them all together. And it seems like, just in the times that we live, that whichever option we choose, it's increasingly based upon her sexual availability, whether we're going to play, stay, or shun. But when we as men, we use the play, stay, shun approach to life, it keeps us locked in a gaming mode, you know, where we're always looking for a different player or for a higher score or for a better performance. And as guys locked into the play, stay, shun mode, we end up playing games the rest of our entire life. And so the thing I'd like to share with our listeners is kind of as we wrap up for the evening is the same option you have as far as play, stay, shun with women. A lot of times it's reflected in your relationship with God. Are you going to play with God? You going to stay with God? Or you're going to shun him altogether. And so tonight we have the opportunity to make that incredible choice to stay with him, to walk with him, to be strong in him. Because, again, like we've shared several times tonight, he's poured so much into us. And out of what he's poured into us, out of what he's worked into us, we have to work it out and then just pour it into the lives of the people closest to us. And, sometimes the people who are not closest to us. And so that's what the message of Onward to Manhood is. It addresses what we face, what we fight, what we fear, and what we find fascinating. And the book is available at Amazon.com. But if you want to find out a little bit more about the speaker myself, some of the different impact speaking events, the workshops, the seminars, that kind of thing, you can visit my website at www.ericjelliott.com. That's ericjelliott.com. And again, if you visit social media, the Facebook site known as Onward to Manhood is there. You'll be able to find some of the upcoming book signings, events, speaking events, and even there you'll find blurbs from the book as well from some of the various chapters and a little bit more about what's going on with the whole Onward to Manhood project.
Well, Eric, we truly, truly appreciate you sharing your words of wisdom and your powerful words that have impacted many, I am sure. I'm telling you, I have posted so many of the things. I hope I got all of them, but I'm sure I didn't get everything. So, look in there and see if there's anything else you want to add into that event. We thank you so much for sharing, your words of wisdom, your time with us. And we look forward to having you back here on Friday Inspire soon.
Likewise, Aaliyah. I am very impressed by everything you're doing with the Man in Radio Network, the Man and Woman Network, and the Woman Network, and On Fire to Inspire. That whole family of broadcasts and podcasts that you're doing is definitely a tremendous thing as well. And I look forward to being able to share with the family once again.
Amen. Well, thanks again. Guys, if you missed any of this powerful interview, you definitely want to go back and listen to the recording. It should be available shortly. Got a couple of announcements for you guys to remember. March the 18th, this coming Saturday, there will be an anti-bullying fundraiser from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m., located in the parking lot of Burger King at 2230 Salem Road, Conyers, Georgia. That's off the Salem Road exit across from Raceway. There will be an anti-bullying fundraiser, and they're going to have hot dogs, chips, drinks, waters. They're going to have candy, things to support their anti-bullying skits and things of that nature. And if you want to book the skit to come to your church or organization, call 770-883-6828 or email Hines, that's H-I-N-E-S, .Oscar@gmail.com. I'm telling you, this skit will change your life. It is true reality of what the children are dealing with, but it's a wake-up call for the parents. And like I said, I had that opportunity to be one of the narrators, and it is just, I'm honored to have been asked because I learned so much. So come on out and support. The plate's only going to be like $3. So come on out and support the gentlemen. They are having a great time. Again, March 18th from 12 to 4 at 2230 Salem Road in Conyers, across from Raceway off of the Salem Road exit, right beside Burger King in that parking lot. And then skit, if you want to book the skit, 770-883-6828 or email hines.oscar@gmail.com. We're going to be doing an author showcase celebrating Reading Awareness Month. So if you want your book highlighted and you want to do like a 10-minute power talk about your book, a power interview, let me know. We'll bring you on to the showcase. It is going to be March the 21st and March 28th. If you're interested, space is limited. So if you want to be on, you can email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. Again, everything spelled out, onfiretoinspire@gmail.com, or call us at 678-750-3233. The author showcase, again, will be March 21st and the 28th. You will have a 10-minute interview. And so it's like you will be giving us like an infomercial about your book so that the listeners can hear about your book. You're going to create such an unction for them to want to purchase your book. So I'm excited about being able to give you that visibility. So again, onfiretoinspire@gmail.com or call it 678-750-3233 so that we can get you on the schedule, get your slot secured. And I think on the 28th, we only have about 3 more slots. So the 21st and the 28th, let us know. On FridayInspired@gmail.com, as well as giving us a call. If you are interested in getting the On Friday Inspired book, go out to Amazon and Kindle. You can go ahead and get the book in ebook, paperback or audio CD. The audio CD actually has yours truly doing all 26 pieces in the book, with Third Heaven Sound playing the instrumentals in the background. I'm telling you, it's such a blessing. And I am going to leave you with the piece called Pregnant with Purpose from the actual book, audio CD, Pregnant with Purpose. Pregnant with Purpose. Gestational period during pregnancy can be 9 to 10 months. How long have you been pregnant with your purpose? Has your due date passed? Are you now overdue? You must give birth to your purpose. It's not too late. It is your time. Don't delay. It's time to give birth to your purpose and your passion. That was Pregnant with Purpose from the audio CD of On Fire to Inspire. All of my books are available on the Amazon and Kindle outlets. I tell you, you'd be blessed because it's not something that I chose to do. God chose me to do it. So On Fire to Inspire, again, is a book available as ebook, paperback, and audio CD. And then finally, there's a book of prayers, affirmations, and declarations. God gave me those to empower and encourage people. He said, there's some people that need to push past the pain, and I need you to be the catalyst to help push them. One of the things that people start calling me, because the name of the show and the book is On Fire to Inspire. So that everybody start calling me Miss On Fire to Inspire. But I call myself a purpose midwife. I don't birth babies, I birth purpose. So, you know, what you have on the inside of you, it's just time for it to come out. No more existing. No more sitting on what God has called you to do or to be. As Eric said a little while ago, you are someone's prayer. You're the answer to someone's prayer. Someone's waiting for you to rise up. It's time for you to awaken. It's time for you to rise up, and it's time for you to move into what God has called you to do, what God has called you to be. Are you living out your purpose? Are you living out the perfect plan for your life? If the answer to that is no, it's time for you to do it. I am Miss On Fire to Inspire, Leah Butler. Same time, same place next week. Tell anyone that you know that's an author that may want to be a part of this showcase to reach out to us. Again, that number is 678-750-3233. Or they can email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com to secure their slot for the author showcase. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Have a blessed one.